that you have defeated the enemy and that you are building your kingdom. Lord, that sometimes we might look at our own lives or at people around us or at our nation or the world, and sometimes it can feel darker, it can feel overwhelming. But Jesus, we know your promise that you will fill the earth with your glory, that one day every knee will bow before you, every tongue will confess that you are Lord, that you are building your kingdom and your kingdom will cover the earth. So Lord, we want to praise you for that and thank you for that. Jesus, I pray for your grace to be on me to share your words this morning, to share your heart, and for your grace to be on each one of us to receive and to walk away strengthened and more built up, more ready to go out there with a message of hope, the good news to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are on week 5 of the Cornerstone Vision. Just a quick review. So the Cornerstone Vision is preaching the gospel, making disciples, raising up leaders, and establishing churches until the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. I'm not going to go through the whole spiel that I've been going through. If you want a spiel, I can give you a spiel afterwards, or you can go look up our sermons on YouTube, and there's a lot of spiel on there, and you can get as much spiel as you want. All right, I've said enough spiel for all year. So we've been talking about preaching the gospel the past few weeks then. Mark 16, starting in verse 15, after Jesus rose from the dead, he gives the disciples the Great Commission, the mission of the church. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." This is job number one. You're saved now. You know God. You love God. He's restoring your mind. He's healing your heart. He's healing your family. He's healing relationships. He's helping you to become a stronger, more mature Christian and to follow after him better. Now, you have to bring that out to other people who don't know God, who don't have the gospel, whose lives are in ruin, who are addicted, who are confused, who are scared, who are worried, and living in darkness. You take the light that's in you, the good news that's in you, that's changed you, and now our job is bring that out to other people. Not just hold on to it, run away into some cave and have our little Christian commune in a cave somewhere. That we launch out, blast the gospel to everybody around us because people need it. They're dying, they're confused, hurt, lonely, and destroying their own lives and destroying people around them. And without the gospel, they're not going to change. And so that's job number one, get the gospel out there. So we've been talking about just some practical ways. How can we communicate the gospel to the people around us? And the whole point of this is not just that you would learn facts and stuff or come and spend an hour hearing me talk and then walk away and go, "All right, cool. What did he talk about? I don't know." The whole point is that we get it inside of us to the point where then it just starts coming out of us. All right, let's move on from there. So I want to share another way that we can share the gospel, that we can communicate the gospel today. But before that, I have something else that I thought was kind of interesting in the Bible and encouraging to me. So I'm talking about preaching the gospel. There's three main verbs that are used in the New Testament to talk about this. Preaching, teaching, and proclaiming. You see those three verbs used again and again. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses real quick just to kind of get get bombarded with the fact that there's a lot in there. And the idea is there's not just one way to share the gospel. There's not one style. There's not one form. The idea is just get out there. Share the gospel. Share the good news that's in you, the stuff that God's given you, the new life that you had. The point is get it out there however you can. Matthew 4:23, Jesus is in Galilee. It says he's teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Matthew 11:1, Jesus went to teach and preach in their cities. Luke 21, Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel. Acts 4:2, Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Acts 5:42, and every day in the temple and from house to house, the early church did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Acts 15:35, Paul and Barnabas, they're in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Acts 28:31, Paul is under house arrest in Rome, And he's proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Colossians 1:28, Paul writes, Him we proclaim, Jesus we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. There's not just one way to do it. We got to teach the gospel. We got to preach the gospel. We got to proclaim the gospel. What do these different words mean? Well, the word preach is euangelizo. It literally means to evangelize, to gospelize someone, to give them good news. I good news them. That's to preach. You just got good news, my friend. The way I think of this is just a general, get it out there. Preach the gospel. Whether you got to use a tract or whether you got to shout it, whether you got to talk to your neighbor, send them an email, whatever. Just get the gospel. Gospel people, all right? Blast them with the, get them with the gospel. Cover them with the gospel. Whatever you got to do. Bake cookies and then you tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter. Just get the gospel out. However you got to get it out there. I think of Arthur Blessed with this. Arthur Blessed, for those who know him, for those who don't know him, he got saved in the, actually I don't know when he got saved, but he started ministering in the 70s, or maybe 60s even. Even back in the 50s he was ministering. He's known as the pastor of the Sunset Strip in California, where he'd go to the homeless, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, and share the gospel with them. And he had crazy ideas. He's got this book called Street University, where he teaches you how to preach the gospel, and it's very interesting. I highly recommend it. And he has all these crazy ideas of things he's done. One of them was he decided to make it a peep show. He called it Peep Show, and then he had a little window there where you could look in there, and it was the gospel presented. So he had all these guys all night long with a peep show. Oh. He's like, I got the gospel out. One of the things he's most famous for is he made this wooden cross, and he's walked all around the world carrying this cross on every nation, every island group, just preaching the gospel. He's been in war zones. He's been almost attacked by guerrilla soldiers down in Latin America. Almost got lost in the jungle in Panama. Just carrying his cross, sharing the gospel with anybody that he encounters. And one of his methods while doing that is he has these little smiley face stickers. And he'll just put them on people and say, hey, God loves you. Hey, God loves you. And you watch it. They've got a video, a documentary about him called The Cross, and a book called The Cross also about him. And you watch it in the movie, and it's like, this is so cheesy. I'm like, he's not explaining it. Look, these are the four spiritual laws, and this is the Romans Road, and here's all the ways that you got to understand his righteousness and sanctification. No, he's just going putting stickers on people, telling them God loves you. But then you see in the documentary, people start crying, and they're like this hardened drug addict kind of looking guy just starts crying, and Arthur's like, yeah, you've been through rough stuff. I know, I could tell. Man, God loves you. And then he's just sharing the gospel and leading him to Jesus. And you're like, what the heck? Just with stickers? That's preaching the gospel. I mean, just get the gospel out there any way you can, however you can. It doesn't really matter if this is the best way to do it or this is the best way. These are all different. There's all lots of different tools to do it, but just preach. Get the gospel out there. Teach. Teach is the word didasko. It means to teach. It literally means to cause to learn. Like, I'll learn you. So we have to preach the gospel, and we have to learn them the gospel. You know, I think of that like thoroughly going through stuff, showing the objections, showing the evidence, and saying, okay, yeah, this is what, you know, here are the four spiritual laws. Here's what Paul taught about justification. Here's what Peter taught. Here's what Jesus taught over here. That we teach through the principles, and we give people not just a cursory understanding of, okay, yeah, I pray this prayer, and now I'm okay, or I got a sticker, and I'm good. But that we go through the foundational truths, and we give people a good, strong foundation, a basis to have faith in God. And we need it all. So this is another thing that we need to do, is we need to teach the gospel. So people, which may not be necessarily all that exciting or anything, but it gives people foundational truths that can draw them to God. One of my favorite stories about someone teaching the gospel and it leading to them getting saved was at our church in Milwaukee. Michael was teaching through a series on spiritual warfare. And we had Lisa Depri, who a lot of you know, she happened to come in while Michael was teaching through spiritual warfare, you know, talking about demons, Satan, different truths of here's how you resist temptation, here's some of Satan's lies, and And here's how you forgive, and here's why all this stuff, you know, why there's evil still in the world, and we have free will and stuff. Just dealing with spiritual warfare, demons, Satan kind of stuff. Typically not something we think of as, wow, a real evangelistic message. But Lisa comes in, and she hears Michael preaching on, here's how demons work, here's how Satan works. And she's like, oh, that makes sense. Maybe the world's not so messed up. Maybe God's not so messed up. And that's really what prompted her to give her life to Jesus. And now she's a missionary in East Asia. So teaching the gospel, we got to do that too. We got to teach the word of God. There's some people that you're going to reach them by just giving them a little smiley face sticker. And they go, oh my gosh, I need that. Tell me about your God. And there's other people that you teach through the principles in the Bible that'll go, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. Okay, maybe I can search this out more. Maybe I've been dismissing Christianity, dismissing God, but what you said actually made a lot of sense. And so, okay, I'll be open to that. Then proclaim. Proclaim is the word keruso. It means to proclaim something as a herald. Like you know, the guy comes in with a trumpet. By order of Lord Farquaad. Or Prince Humperdinck, depending on which generation, you know. But you know, that's what proclaim means. When we're called to proclaim the gospel, it's just like we're coming in with an authoritative message from God saying, by order of the king, Jesus has come, he's died on the cross, he rose again, he forgave you of your sins, he cleansed you, he's made you righteous, so you need to receive it because one day he's going to return and he's going to judge the earth. That's proclaiming, that you have the authority of the king on your backing you, and you come with a gravity, an authority, a strength, that says if you don't listen to this, you're accountable to it now, and you will. There's consequences to rejecting the truth of this. That's proclaiming the gospel. When we were in Milwaukee, we would do evangelism like every day, pretty much. I mean, I guess truthfully, probably about 5 days a week only, not every day, but on average, probably about 5 days a week, we were doing evangelism out there. One time, me and another guy named Jake, we were walking near. I don't remember where it was. I think near the art museum. And there was this young couple sitting on a bench. They both had big aviator sunglasses on and like really trendy looking leather jackets and stuff. They looked really cool and like they didn't want anybody to bother them. So we said, let's bother them. So we're walking past I wanted to leave them alone because like, wow, they look like they think they're cooler than anybody else. And I don't really want to deal with trying to get through that. But Jake Martin didn't have those sensitivities, and so he just starts talking with them, sharing the gospel, and I don't remember what all he said, but then the guy he points at us and goes, your Christianity is why the world screwed up today. You know, if God is such a good God, why is there crime? Why is there rape? Right? Why is there war? Why is there genocide? Just like laying out all this stuff that I've heard 1,000 times, and usually I've tried to be more sensitive and go, well, okay, here's the reasons why that doesn't make sense and all that, and talk about free will, but something just like rose up in me where I'm like, no, we're here to proclaim the truth. And I just pointed right back at him. I'm like, you're blaming God. You're mad at God about all this stuff. But you're to blame because your sins and your anger, your jealousy, your pride, your arrogance, your hypocrisy is perpetuating these problems. You're committing these sins. God didn't do any of this. It's people. People are causing these sins. And people are the ones who do the crimes. People are the ones who kill other people. God's not killing other people. He gave us free will to choose to follow him or to choose to ignore him and follow the enemy. And so here I am. I'm giving you the good news we're giving you the good news that Jesus has come to forgive you of your sins and to make it so you can actually live for God. And here you're just pointing at us, blaming God for all the things that you're doing. And he goes, oh, thank you. Yeah, nobody ever said that before. I need to think about this. That we walked away, we're like, all right, mission done. That's proclaiming the gospel, though, where you go, look, I don't. Your theory is fine, whatever, have your theories, but here's the truth of what God said, where you know what's right, you know what's wrong, you know this is the truth, walk in it. And if people want to do it, good, they'll be blessed. If they want to reject it, well, now they're accountable to rejecting the only way for salvation, the only way to have your life restored and your relationship with God restored. But that's, they're accountable for it. You know, the whole idea is that we don't come with this whole, like, just, oh, come on, why don't you just serve Jesus? Why don't you just welcome him into your heart? You're going to love it. It's going to feel really good. And you have these warm feelings, and life is going to be good. Come on, you know, he loves you. And, like, he's this little puppy dog that you can bring into your house and just snuggle with him. No, we're coming with the proclamation that this is the gospel. You got to walk in it. If you reject it, you're accountable to that now. So, all right, we got to do it all. We got to preach. We got to just get the good news out there. And don't worry about, well, did I say it exactly right? Because, yeah, probably not. I mean, I don't think anybody's saying the gospel exactly right. Maybe when we're in heaven, God will let us know, yeah, that was a good illustration, but man, you didn't have your theology totally right. Let me show you a better illustration. Okay, just get out there with the gospel. Whatever you got, use it. We've got to teach the gospel. Maybe you're not one who you're going to get up on the street corner and just start proclaiming things and preaching, but you know the Bible and you love the Bible and you've read history and you like to think logically. Okay, you're going to reach people with that, and you can teach people the principles of the Bible, the principles of the gospel, and that can lead them into a relationship with God. And we got to proclaim the gospel. Just give that authoritative announcement that, look, this is the way. This is what God has done for us. And you can walk in it or you can reject it. So teaching, preaching, proclaiming, it's all good. And the reason I want to mention this is, you know, sometimes we get hung up on like trying to figure out, okay, what's the right method? What's the right form? What's the right way to communicate it? It's all good. We got to communicate it any way we can. If you're a teacher, teach it. If you're a preacher, preach it. Whatever you got, just use it. We got to get the gospel out there. And you're not going to say everything perfect. That's all fine. Get the gospel out, what you've got in you, how you think, how you act, what you care about, what your passions are, the way you view the world. God knows that that's you, and he made you that way. The gospel truth is the same, but you're going to deliver it different than I will, or different than Brian will, different than Jesse will. It's okay. Just let God use you to share the gospel in how you understand it and how it's inside of you. Does that make sense? All right, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. It's just get the gospel out there to everyone, every way you can. Amen. All right, so speaking of this whole idea of use what God's given you in the way that you are, I want to talk about one of the most powerful, in my opinion, one of the most powerful ways to share the gospel, sharing your testimony. This is incredibly powerful for a number of reasons. One was demonstrated earlier when I started preaching, and I asked you guys if you remembered the points that I shared in the past few weeks, and nobody could remember. You know, it's hard. It's hard to remember, okay, these are the Romans Road verses, these are the four spiritual laws. Four laws is a lot to remember. Five gospel things. You were better with that. I think the middle finger helped. Everybody likes the middle finger. But it's hard to remember facts. But it's very easy to remember your own story. Nobody forgets what they've been through. Nobody forgets when God came into their life and helped them. So sharing your testimony is one of the most powerful ways to communicate the gospel. In Acts chapter 3 and 4, Peter and John are on their way to the temple. They see a lame man. They pray for him. Well, they don't pray for him. They get him healed. He gets up, completely healed, and a crowd gathers around. They preach to the crowd. And then Peter and John get themselves thrown into jail. And there they're questioned by the religious authorities. And Acts chapter 4, verse 13, at the end of the interrogation, says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." They saw that something was different in these two guys, these fishermen, that all of a sudden were speaking in truth, speaking in power and authority. And they're like, okay, they've been with Jesus. Something's different about them. "But seeing a man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name.' So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must be the judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" The idea of sharing your testimony is just telling people what you've seen and heard. And, you know, Peter and John here, they didn't go, "Well, the word of God says..." So therefore, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. They said, "Look, we just can't be quiet. We can't stop talking about what Jesus did. We can't stop talking about the fact that he died on the cross. We saw it, and that he rose again. I touched him. I ate with him. He cooked fish for us. We can't stop talking about that and all the miracles he's done and the fact that this lame beggar just all of a sudden gets healed in the name of Jesus. We can't be quiet about this stuff. We need to let the world know." Because they'd seen something, they'd heard something, and they got to let it out. Sharing your testimony or sharing testimonies of what God has done is one of the most common evangelism forms in the Bible. The Apostle John in 1 John 1:3, he says that he's talking about or he's writing about that which we have seen and heard. When Ananias was sent to the Apostle Paul to pray for him after Paul encounters God on the way to Damascus and he can't see, and then Ananias comes, prays for him, and Paul can see. When Ananias tells Paul that God has called him to be a witness to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And it's interesting, you look at Paul's teachings in the Bible, his longest sermons are simply his testimony. You know, you think of Paul as this great scholar, and he was. And his letters are incredible. The depth of theology there is like incredible. And yet, when he's called before the authorities and they say, explain yourself. What is this good news? What is this gospel? He doesn't go through the deep theology. He says, look, I was on my horse on the way to Damascus because I was getting letters so that I had authority to persecute Christians. I hated them. And I saw God and he changed me. He just shares his testimony. That's Paul's longest sermons that we see recorded in the New Testament. It's his testimony. The Apostle Peter, in Acts 10:39, he says, we are witnesses of all that Jesus did. John the Baptist said that Jesus himself was bearing witness to what he has seen and heard in John 3:32. In Acts 1:8, Jesus speaks to his disciples, to the church, and he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The word witness is martus. It means an eyewitness, someone who saw or heard something and could report about it, who could talk about it. Throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, this is one of the most, there might be another one. Maybe signs and wonders would compete with this. So sharing your testimony, talking about what you've seen and heard, talking about what God has done in your life is one of the most common methods of sharing the gospel that we see in the Bible. So in one sense, like I think of sharing testimonies as two things. There's the general sense of just talking about what God has done in your life, and then there's a specific sense of sharing your testimony, your personal story of how God brought you from crazed pagan cannibal to now you're going to church and you're happy. Any pagan cannibals? No, I'm kidding. And sharing testimonies of what God. So I'm going to look at that first. Sharing testimonies of what God has done, I think, is one of the most. It's one of the easiest ways to share the gospel, and one of the most effective ways to share the gospel with people. Especially some of the hardest people to reach with the gospel, I think, are family members, family and friends, maybe. They've seen you in diapers, and they've seen you do stupid stuff your whole life, and they don't think you're that smart and that great, because they've seen you at your lowest points. So family and friends are incredibly hard to reach with the gospel, especially like parents. You know, parents that have changed your diapers and cleaned up your throw up when you were sick and dealt with your crabby attitude and crabby teenage years and all that. And then you get saved and you try to tell them that you know better than them. Yeah, it's not going to go over that well. Me and Jesse have seen that with our family, our parents and our extended family, that it was very hard. And Jesse had run-ins with her family, arguments after she first got saved. It had more zeal than wisdom. Had some big arguments with her parents where she said some stupid things that were correct, but stupid. I had some issues with some things too, where I tried to tell my parents about, here's what the gospel means and all that, and you don't understand. And yeah, it didn't go over that well. But so we realized, okay, back off a little bit. We'll just leak things out. We'll share testimonies of. I shared about Naomi getting healed of lactose intolerance. Shared about I had even worse hearing in my ears. Like I healed it. My hearing's not perfect now, but I used to have really bad hearing this year here. And different times that we've been on mission trips and seen blind eyes healed, deaf ears opened up, legs grown out, broken limbs healed. Just miraculous things we've seen. Or stuff like what I shared with my dad about getting set free from pornography and stuff like that. We've just been very open about, here's what God has done in our lives. Answered prayers, like times when we didn't have any money. We prayed, Lord, send us vegetables and meat. And then someone shows up at our door with vegetables and meat. Just different stuff like that. Testimonies that we all have of God's faithfulness, the miraculous answers to prayer, deliverance from sin, our changed hearts, changed attitudes, things that God has done for us. We really have tried with family to be very open about that stuff. And I could say after years now, looking at it, our parents are different, our extended family is different, and we're not, it's not entirely our doing here. There's other people you know, God is using other people as well. But it's really cool to be able to look back now and go, wow, God has done a lot. Especially like Jesse's parents, I think, during when we were in Romania, her mom was like, what? Wow, they're really taking this God thing seriously to leave everything and go to Romania. And then we would send updates about different things we'd seen and people who got saved and their lives changed by God. And so sharing testimonies has been a huge, like with our family, where they've been able to see this is the reality of what God has done. And we've avoided a lot of, we've had some run-ins, some discussions and heated things said. And that some of them were we needed to say. Sometimes we should have been quiet. We've been through that stuff, but I noticed the most effective seems to be sharing testimonies, just talking about what you've seen and heard. And like, okay, if they disagree, well, fine. You can think I'm insane. You can think I'm lying if you want to. But this is what I know. I saw this happen. We had no money. We prayed. God sent us money. So, okay, was it a coincidence? Am I lying? Am I deceived? Maybe. But this is what I saw. Take it or leave it. It avoids a lot of arguments that that you could have otherwise. Friends, too. I had a friend who he was saved, and then he rejected God, got into occult stuff, some weird Eastern religions, and he actually got sent to jail, to prison, for molesting a child. But we kept in contact, so I would send him letters, he'd send me letters, and then he started getting involved with this occult stuff, Eastern religions, and started writing these, like, letters trying to convince me that Christianity was wrong and say, look, this verse, you believe it to mean this, but it actually means this. And if you look at this weird ancient Persian book, it talks about Jesus before Jesus came because Jesus was just invented by people who read this Persian book. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. So we would argue back and forth, and I had my reasons why the gospel or why the Bible made more sense. And well, historically, this thing lines up. And if you look at the documentation, the Bible is way more accurate than your books. And we went back and forth for a while. And then one letter, I was just frustrated. And so I said, well, I just wrote something like, well, I don't really have anything else to say, but here's what God's done in my life. And I just listened. Bam, 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 bam. He set me free from sin. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. And I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears open. And I've seen people healed of cancer, people healed of AIDS, I've seen this, all these different things that God has done. And then his next response was, I'm not sure what to say about that. Can we talk about something else? He hasn't received the gospel yet. He hasn't turned back to God. But it avoids a lot of problems. You know, it's a way to just say, hey, look, here's what God's done. Take it or leave it. Sharing testimonies. Recently, I was at Walmart getting new tires for our van, and I love Walmart. Ever since being in Romania, where we didn't have Walmart, coming back here, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love Walmart. Walmart's amazing. Way to go, Greg. Way to go, man. I don't like the lighting. The lighting in Walmart really bothers me. That doesn't really matter. But the lighting's really bad, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's a weird flickering light. So I was getting tires on the van, and there's an old guy, Ed, over at the Hartford Walmart, and I don't know how we got onto this, but somehow we're talking about just random stuff, and then he starts talking about his granddaughter got a new job, or was entering a field that he's like, well, she's not going to get a lot of money, so I'm kind of concerned about it. And so then I just started talking about, man, God will take care of her, and I shared testimonies of our lives when we had $50 in Romania. It was the only money we had for a month, because support didn't come through, and we're like, God, you got to take care of us. And a friend of ours, who's a Romanian gambler, went to bet on, I think it was a boxing match, and he said, Lord, give whatever money I win on this, I'm giving to Jake. I didn't know about all this. And he won exactly the amount that we needed to pay all our bills that month, on the month that we had nothing. So I shared that. And then other times that we had no furniture, and people would show up with the furniture we needed. We had no food. They'd show up with food. All our money got stolen, and then God restored all of it back, even more so than we had before. And so I just shared all these testimonies, and he goes, yeah, I suppose you're right. God will take care of her, won't he? I'm like, yeah. You know, just talk about what Jesus has done. It doesn't need to be weird. It doesn't have to be creepy where you go, hey, can I have a minute of your time to share about something that God did in my life when I was 25? No, just talk. It's all good. It's like, what, are you going to sign me up for some network marketing thing? What's going on? All right. So that's one guy. That's one side of sharing testimonies. You're just talking about what God has done in your life. Answered prayers. How
how people of God have been there for you, how the church has really been there for you, how God did miracles, how God healed you, how he spoke to you when you really needed help with through depression or you, whatever. Just telling about what God has done for you. And you don't have to be weird about it, just be real about it, because God has done something good for you, and of course you want to share that with people. I mean, I found a new deodorant years ago, and I shared it with everybody I knew. I didn't share it, didn't physically, you know. I don't like that. I want my deodorant. Yeah, maybe I have a thing about that. Toothbrushes as well. Brian and I had an elders meeting, and I don't remember most of what we talked about. Oh, I hurt my side there. But there was a whole toothbrush thing. Yeah, so don't use my toothbrush, please. And if you do, you could tell me. And then I'll get a new one. I'm weird about that. Deodorant, same thing. No, I got this deodorant that I love. And so I was telling all my friends, I'm like, hey, you got to try Arm & Hammer. Arm & Hammer's great. So if you guys, I don't know the girl stuff. I haven't tried that. But the guys, Arm & Hammer, love it. You know, it's got the baking soda. It sucks the odor out. At least I think so. You guys let me know if it's effective or not. But I like it. I like the Arm & Hammer. It doesn't really help with sweat a lot, I think, because...
It's not an antiperspirant. I like it because it isn't.
Yeah, me and Kathy. All right, we're on the same page. This is good. But you tell people, you find something good, and you tell everybody about it. And you don't be all weird, like, can I tell you about my deodorant? You just say, man, I got this awesome deodorant. You should try it. And nobody's like, what a weirdo. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe nobody else does this stuff. I do this stuff, though. You find a new store. You say, hey, guys, check out Walmart. It's really great. You heard about Walmart. All right. So that's one side of sharing testimonies. You just talk about what God has done. The other side is sharing your personal testimony, your personal salvation story, how you went from being this crazed lunatic to now you're following God. It's basically three parts of this. Number one, what were you like before you knew God? Were you a drug addict? Were you a serial rapist? Were you a cannibal, a pygmy? Whatever you were, you can still be a pygmy and love Jesus. Whatever you were, okay, that's what you were. That's part number one. What were you before you knew God? And number two, second part, how did you come to know God? Were you watching TV and then Oral Roberts popped up and you're like, who is this guy? Was your grandma coming over with tracts and you're like, okay, I'll read my tract from my grandma. Did you wander into the church one day and somebody was sharing the gospel? How did you hear the gospel? Where were you? What happened when you heard the gospel and surrendered to it? And then the third part, what are you like now? What's different? How has God changed you? Do you have more peace now? Are you freed from sin? Are there certain things, areas where you're walking in victory now that you weren't walking in victory? What is it that God has done, start to finish, in your life? Not you're not giving him your whole biography, but just a quick: here's who I was, here's how I met God, and what changed, or and how I changed, and here's how I'm different right now. What God did in my life, so that I'm new. I've got quick here: 8 reasons sharing your testimony is incredibly powerful. Number one, it's one of the main methods used in the Bible. Paul used it. All those different authors: Peter, Paul, Mary. They talked about it. I guess Mary did share some testimonies. They all talked about it. I'm a witness of what I've seen and heard. Number two, your story is the truth and no one can argue with it. You know, they might say, you're weird, or I don't know about all that. But they're not going to say, well, I don't think you were a drug addict. No, didn't happen. Number three, you don't have to memorize facts and Bible verses. Great, wonderful. You don't have to memorize anything. You know what happened to you. You know when you prayed. You know when you didn't have money and God provided for you. You know when you were in sin and you were confused and you didn't know God. And you know how you met God and you know how you're different now. You don't have to memorize anything. You don't have to try to remember 4 spiritual laws and the Romans Road and the gospel hymn. You don't have to do any of that. Just you. Share your life. Number four, you don't have to be a deep theologian. Anybody can share their testimony. You don't have to be a deep thinker. You don't have to be an intellectual type person. Anybody can share the testimonies that they have in their lives of what God has done for them. Number five, everyone has a testimony to share. It doesn't matter whether you grew up in some crazed environment, going visiting prostitutes with Uncle Billy, or you grew up in the church singing hymns. Okay, you still have a process that God is taking you through where you've had to make a decision. I'm going to live for God. I want to do this for real. Everybody's got a testimony to share.
Number six, you don't need any materials. You don't have to carry tracts with you. You don't have to pass out Bibles. You don't need a gospel blimp that you buy and you can drop stuff down on everybody in the neighborhood. You just have you. You don't need anything else. Number seven, people remember stories better than facts. It's just true. It's how we work. It's how we operate. We can't remember points and facts and statistics that well. Once in a while, there'll be, you know, like a Captain Spock that has all that. And they work with that. But most of us, we remember stories. We remember inane stories way easier than we remember facts and figures. Even Jesus used that. He taught in parables all the time, telling stories about seeds that grow up and people walk away going, oh, cool, he gave me some farming advice. And then they go, oh, is that the gospel? Yeah, that was about, okay. People remember stories. So they'll remember your testimony, your life story, your story of when God came through for you a lot easier than they'll remember, oh yeah, she shared 16 facts about why I need to get saved. Number eight, your story will resonate with people, even if their story is different, even if their situation is different. Your story is going to resonate with them because people are interested in other people and people are interested in stories of people's lives. Like when we were down in Haiti, the first time we went down there, remember some of us were feeling like, man, our lives are so different and they're so poor. They've been through so much crap and with no end in sight. And here we are with our good lives, our cars, our houses, our money, and we're trying to share our testimonies with them and share about our, yeah, it was really hard when, you know, my mom yelled at me once and I had this whole like existential experience. Am I really going with God or not? And it can be a little intimidating, but your story is captivating even if your life situation is different from their life situation, because it's a human story and people are interested in that. And that's one thing, yeah, I saw that when we were down in Haiti. We're just sharing our stories of processing everything or of our salvation stories, and everybody's got a different one. It didn't matter that we grew up in America, they grew up in Haiti. It didn't matter that we had a lot more money compared to how much money they have. It didn't matter that the life situation was different, because it's a life story and people are interested in that. So your story will resonate with people. All right, I want to share five quick tips on sharing your personal testimony. And these would be good things to remember and even jot down and actually do. Be able to share it fast. People don't have all day to listen to every little detail of how you got saved. You're going to lose them. Be able to, and even practice sharing it, but get to the point where you can say, look, this is who I was, this is what God did in my life, or this is when I met God, and this is what he did in my life. This is how I'm different now. Or this is a situation. This is we didn't have money. We prayed. God provided money. Get to the point where you're able to share it quickly. Because, you know, you'll be at work, and you don't have half an hour to say, hey, could you sit down? I really want to share, like, from my life experience. Or you're at the store and talking with someone. You got 30 seconds. You got a couple minutes. You don't have 45 minutes to go through everything that God's done in your life. So you want to be able to share it fast. When I was a new Christian, I would actually practice it. I'd practice sharing it in a couple minutes, in like 3 minutes, in 5 minutes, so that I could at any time kind of just whip it out. Here's the 30-second version of it. Here's the 5-minute version of it, depending on how long I had with people. Here's tip number two. Have a 30-second summary version, a 2-minute version, a 5-minute version, and maybe a 10-minute version. Maybe. Most people don't have 10 minutes. But you might be in a situation where someone wants to hear more, and then you can just be ready. You have the story laid out in your head. But practice a 30-second version, where you've got just a real quick, somebody asks you, man, so I see you reading your Bible. What's the deal with that? And you're just in passing in the hallway, you know, and you go, oh, okay, well, I used to da-da-da, and then and now I'm different. You go, oh, wow, that's really cool. And then maybe they come back later and say, so could you tell me more about that? Because you just gave me a little teaser trailer there, and I want the full trailer. Not the full movie, but, you know, so practice the 30-second version, practice the 2-minute version, practice the 5-minute version. Tip number three, don't just be vague in general about your sin. Be as specific as you're comfortable with. You know, you don't need to give creepy details. But don't just be like, yeah, so I was I did bad stuff, and then now I met God at a church somewhere, and now I'm good. Okay, that tells me nothing. No, were you addicted to pornography? Were you depressed? Were you scared and just full of fear? What were you before, and where were you when you met God, and now how are you different now? Details. So that people actually have something to grab a hold of and not just go, yeah, I don't know, you didn't really tell me anything. just being very vague. All right, but tip number four, but don't focus on how bad you were and just glorify your sin. Don't just get stuck there. I've seen a lot of people, when they're sharing their testimony, they'll spend, you know, they got like half an hour. This is, Romania was really bad with this. Where guys would get, during their church services, they'd have a time for someone to share like a short word of encouragement. And a lot of times people would share their testimony during that time. And they'd have like 15, 20 minutes, let's say 20 minutes. They spend 15 minutes talking about all the gross sin they've done. And then they go, but I got saved and now I'm not anymore. Or I'm not doing that anymore. It's like, wait, what? So you spent 15 minutes glorifying sin, emphasizing how bad you were. And you're like, no, you don't want to glorify a sin. Or yeah, other people, were that when they talked about the sin that they were in, they almost seemed like they wish they were back into sin. Don't do that. No, you want to emphasize what God has done in your life. Be specific. Tell them what you were doing. Tell them the details of, yeah, I was addicted to this, and I was full of this, and whatever. Tell them the specific details of, here's the sin that I was in, and here's how my life was a destruction, and was in ruin, and here's what God did. But then really emphasize, look what God did, so I'm different now. Look at the glory of God in my life. Look at the grace of God in my life. You want to emphasize that, the hope of the message, not the despair of, wow, you were a big sinner. You were really screwed, weren't you? You want them to walk away with, wow, they've changed a lot. Last tip, have a tract or a written version of it. I used to have these tracts that I would carry around when we lived here in Conwalk, in Milwaukee, in Bucharest. I would carry them around and leave them in bathrooms, leave them in restaurants, at libraries, just wherever. Sometimes even give them to people. But just a tract that shared my testimony, that talked about, here's how I met God, you know, and here's how I'm different now. Than I used to be. So I would carry these around with me and just leave them various places. Have something like that. You don't have to have the track that I had. It was really nice with graphics and stuff like that and looked kind of cool. But you can have just a simple written thing so that you can leave it places. Like you leave one at like a dentist or something. Somebody's flipping through a magazine and see your story there and they go, oh, that's interesting. And now they're reading your story instead of just flipping through People magazine or something dumb. So have a written version of it that you can leave places. And on that, put your contact information. If you don't want to put your phone number, that's fine. Put your email address or something so that if they're interested, they can get a hold of you. Put the church information on there. Maybe even, well, better at best, I guess, would be your information and the church's information so that if they want a body of believers, a family, if they're convicted by your story and they want to get plugged into a church that, like ours, then they know, okay, I don't want to have to just wander around trying to find a church. They have a church. All right. So just to close, I want to encourage you, don't discount the value of your testimony. Share what God has done in your life, your personal salvation story, but also just the day-to-day, the things in your life where God has done miracles for you, where he delivered you from sin, where he healed you, where he used you to heal other people, where he provided for you, answered prayers, that where you needed him to come with an answered prayer. All those ways, all the things that God has done in your life, tell about what you've seen and heard. When we were in Bucharest one time, we did a lot of street preaching, and there's a place called Piața Unirii, Unity Square, in the middle of Bucharest, kind of like a downtown area, like a city center, we would call it there. It's a big square with roads that went all around it, and we went on one corner. We were preaching the gospel there. I think my brother Ben was preaching. And he was just sharing his testimony. And Ben was addicted to pornography, and God delivered him from that. And so he's preaching about that, just sharing his testimony about what God did for him. But before he could get to him getting saved, the police came and told us we couldn't preach. And so then we had to stop, and then we went across the street to go to a different corner, and we started preaching there. And then Ben got a little ways on his testimony, and then the police came there and told us we had to stop, so then we get to the third corner. And then by the time we get there, then I noticed there was this guy that was at the first corner that came to the second corner that came to the third corner. And so Ben's sharing his testimony there. And again, he couldn't quite finish it up. But so then we stopped and we're like, well, we're kind of tired of hopping around, and we don't want to look too obnoxious to the police. And so we stopped preaching, and then this guy that had been following at every corner where we were at, he comes up to Ben and he goes, could you tell me the rest of that? Because I'm exactly that. Like your story of pornography and addiction and torment like that, that's where I'm at right now. what happened to you? How come you're here preaching now? What's the end of the story? So I got to share with this guy the rest of the story. And then they met every week for a few months, going through the Bible. I don't remember if he got saved or not. I think he, I don't remember. It was a while back. But people are hungry for your story. People need to know what God has done in your life. They need to know when he's come through for you, how he's changed you. Because everybody, even people want to change. They want something different in their life. And when they see that, okay, you were different. You were this way, and now God has changed you. And they see that, how your life has changed. That gives them hope that they could change as well. Let me close with Revelation 12:11. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Your testimony, the testimonies you have of what God has done in your life, are powerful weapons to defeat the enemy and build God's kingdom. So don't hold back. Let people know what God has done. You might not have all the facts or all the points and the different four spiritual laws or whatever. You might not have all those ways or the correct responses and the arguments to deal with the things that people throw at you. Oh, that's okay. You've got your testimony. And that's the most powerful thing, one of the most powerful ways to communicate the gospel. All right, let me pray. Jesus, thank you for changing our lives, for taking us from sin, from darkness, from confusion, fear, hopelessness, depression, addiction, torment. Thank you for taking us from that and giving us hope, for changing us, for healing us, delivering us, for forgiving us and cleansing us of our sin, that we are different now. And it's not because of our work or our hard work or anything, Lord. It's because of you, because of what you did on the cross. Jesus, I want to thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you would give us a new boldness to share our testimony with people around us, to share the testimonies of times that you've come through for us, miracles that you've done for us, and how you've taken care of us, but also to share our personal salvation story of how we went from totally lost, depraved, far from you, to meeting you, and now we're changed. Lord, give us a boldness and a grace to share our testimony with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.